A reading from the book of Joshua. The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have removed the reproach of Egypt from you." While the Israelites were encamped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, they celebrated the Passover. On the evening of the 14th of the month, on the day after the Passover, they ate of the produce of the land in the form of unleavened cakes and parched grain. On that same day after the Passover, on which they ate of the produce of the land, the manna ceased. No longer was there manna for the Israelites, who that year ate of the field of the land of Canaan. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, whoever is in Christ is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. And all this is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and given us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. So we are ambassadors for Christ, as if God were appealing through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who did not know sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus, but the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them Jesus addressed this parable. A man had two sons, and the younger son said to the father, "Father, give me the share of your estate that should come to me." So the father divided the property between them. After a few days, the younger son collected all his belongings and set out to a distant country, where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens, who sent him to his farm to tend the swine. And he longed to eat his fill of the pods on which the swine fed, but nobody gave him any. Coming to his senses, he thought, "How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food to eat, but here I am dying from hunger? I shall get up and go to my father, and I shall say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would treat one of your hired workers.' So he got up and he went back to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son.' But his father ordered his servants, 'Quickly bring the finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Take the fattened calf and slaughter it. Then let us celebrate with a feast, because this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found.' Then the celebration began. Now the older son had been out in the field, and on his way back, as he neared the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what this might mean. The servant said to him, 'Your brother has returned and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf, because he has him back safe and sound.' He became angry, and when he refused to enter the house, his father came out and pleaded with him. He said to his father in reply, 'Look, all these years I've served you, and not once did I disobey your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat to feast on with my friends. But when your son returns, who swallowed up your property with prostitutes, for him you slaughter the fattened calf. He said to him, My son, you are here with me always. Everything I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice, because your brother was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This is taken from the first reading that we heard proclaimed. The Lord said to Joshua, Today I have removed the reproach of Egypt from you. Are we there yet? Once in a while, I'll have someone ask me, why do I love trains as much as I do? I don't know. I really don't have an answer to give to you. I've always liked trains, from even a young boy. Matter of fact, I had considered one time, before thinking of being a priest, about becoming a train engineer. And wherever I go, whenever I travel on long distance, I always take the train. If the train doesn't go there, then I'm not going to go there. So I have to kind of plan my vacations appropriately. But I do think that perhaps my parents might have had something to do with it as well, too. Whenever we could get away from the farm and go somewhere, you know, the anticipation of getting there was always strong. And I'm sure, I know I did, and one of my siblings, I have five brothers and sisters, one of us would say, are we there yet? We may have just left home, you know, the eagerness, anticipation of getting there. And so I think all of a sudden my parents said this, if we were traveling where there was a train, why don't you count the number of cars and tell me how many there are? Get us off from trying to say, are we there yet? So maybe that was the beginning. But maybe perhaps when Moses didn't have trains for the Israelites to count, he might have said, why don't you count the number of grain of sands and then let me know how many there are? Because I wonder if perhaps they might have said, are we there yet? Are we there at the promised land? In our first reading today, we hear how Joshua finally led the people into the land of freedom, the land, the promised land. It took a long time. It took 40 years for them to get there from Egypt to the promised land, but they finally made it. Our first reading is taken from the book of the prophet Joshua. And you probably are familiar that Moses was the one that God had appointed to lead them out of Egypt, but through the desert. But he himself could not enter the promised land because of a sin of doubt. So once he had passed, Joshua did. And the passage we had today is a passage in which they celebrate the Passover. You're probably quite familiar that it was very important on that night when God had told Moses, you tell people in the households, this is what you are to do. Tonight you're going to be freed from Pharaoh. Matter of fact, Pharaoh will even say, flee now and leave, when it was the death of the firstborn sons in Egypt. So they celebrated what I think would be the first Passover in the Promised Land. They recall what God had done, had freed them from slavery in a land that was not their own. But now they would come to a land that would be their own. They could claim it as their own. And as we heard at the end of the passage, before God had provided for them both food and drink, he provided manna and quail. He also provided opportunities for them to have drinking water. But once they had received the land, a land flowing with milk and honey, now they could provide for themselves. This was a night to remember, finally reaching the promised land. And I wonder how often they had said to the people, had said to Moses, are we there yet? And they would finally find out 40 years later. And the place in which this happened was called Gilgal. The name translates reproach. Oftentimes people had sinned against God, and God was angry with them, what they had not trusting and believing in him. But now the reproach had been removed. No longer would they have to know of slavery and of suffering in a land that was not theirs, but a land now that was theirs that they could claim as their own. Are we there yet? We know that we are on our own journey to the Lord. We know that before us, by virtue of baptism, our salvation has begun, but we are not complete. We know that Christ won salvation by his own death on the cross. But we also know, too, eternal salvation is yet to come. And we have to do our part in order that one day to share in the eternal glory of God. The Lenten season reminds us that we, too, have sinned and that we need to turn back to the Lord our God. The word reproach means dishonor or disgrace. And I hope that this Lenten season reminds us the many times that we have disgraced or dishonored God or our status as adopted children of the Father. Lent tells us that we must come back to God and to come back to him with all our hearts. No longer does God is displeased with us, but he is well pleased. But we have to do our part in order to gain eternal salvation. So let us use this Lenten season. Let us use this time to come back to God and use the opportunity for the sacrament of penance so that the reproach is removed. Are we there yet? Not yet. But when that time comes, we hope that we will enjoy the eternal glory of God in heaven. And when we do, we will know and we will say, we are finally home. We are finally here.